I like wind as a theme of today. I also like power. No electric power, our lives come to a halt almost. Here's my point overall. We can move forward as a church family, confident in God's power, if we take seriously three essential qualities of power, God's power present in the last two verses of the chapter Greg read, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. I call this talk God's strange power within us. I'll explain that as I go. But there's three points I think that are crucial in these two verses, which I think will, if we focus on it and grasp it, will be all the power we need as we go forward as a church family together. Actually, throughout the Bible, power is quite a theme. In the Old Testament, God the Creator was the power. Let's get the power okay? Okay. God created everything. He spoke, and there it was. At one point, there was nothing ever in anywhere. And the next moment, God started creating. The other major theme of the Old Testament is God's redeeming power to get his people out of Egypt, a hopeless situation as far as humanly speaking. In the New Testament, the major power theme is Jesus rising from the dead. It's very interesting that both, we see that both Jesus said, I have power to raise myself. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And more often it's stated that God the Father is going to raise up his Son after death. And this overlap is not surprising given the Trinity, but it's clear that Jesus' defeat of death is the most central New Testament theme of resurrection. And closely related to that is that his people, his children, his disciples, we also will experience freedom from death. Our bodies stop working. We die, we say. But in reality, ourselves continue in life. And at one point, our bodies and our souls will be reunited. So that's a great theme of power in the New Testament. But there's also an internal use of power, which is more what these two verses talk about. We'll get to that. Let's define power. I looked it up in the dictionary. Power, according to the dictionary, possession of ability to wield force, like the superheroes, Superman, Batman. You're strong. You can beat the opponent down with your force. Another sense of power is permissive authority. I sentence you to 30 years in prison. I pardon you. Or a judge can say things and things happen. Or another use of power is substantial influence. So companies paid millions of dollars to have at Super Bowl to watch people eat potato chips, drive cars, and everything that they want to influence us to buy. Well, God's power is not really any of those. I mean, God did raise up Samson, strong Samson, but that's the exception. In fact, he said, God picks very few strong people, very few wise people, very few successful people. He doesn't go that way normally. He told his disciples, go make disciples. Peter preached, but it was God who changed hearts. We don't do that. The Acts says every day the Lord added those who were being saved. Never says the Lord added those the apostles were saving. We can't do that. God's power is to be the judge. I declare you pardoned. And as far as substantial influence, we kind of have a handicap, we Christians, because what we preach is Jesus crucified. and the cross, probably the most, or one of the most humiliating ways to execute somebody, our leader suffered the cross. In fact, Paul says the cross is foolishness to the Greeks, and for the Jews it's a stumbling block. How could anything good come out of a crucified leader? So God's use of power is he doesn't go, doesn't play games like the world does. We're told to make disciples and to talk about being witnesses of what we know of God and of Jesus. But he's the one that changes the hearts. In fact, Jesus said, it's our love for each other that's going to really convince people that we're disciples of Jesus. Not anything we do, not our strength, and so it's our love. So I'm going to look at these three essential qualities briefly this morning. The first is in the very first line. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. God's power can seem very strange, unpredictable, and unfamiliar, because he's so much bigger than we are. Imagine if Ann's tablet needs to be recharged. So we drive up to Providence to the central electric station and we say, okay, we're going to get recharged here, our tablet, on this power station. That's a very simple analogy, inadequate analogy. The superpower of God, the creator, his power is so far abundantly above what we can ask or even think. We, especially us old timers, may think we know pretty well how the Lord operates, what he's likely to do next or not likely to do next. But this verse, I believe, teaches us not to be too surprised at what he will do next. Yesterday morning at the men's prayer, we were looking at Acts chapter 8. And at one point, it happened that Stephen was martyred, stoned to death. That very same day, a great persecution arose. Saul was arresting men and women, putting them in prison. Everybody was scattered, except the leaders stayed in Jerusalem. So life was totally disrupted for the believers. But then it says, as the believers went, they preached the word wherever they went. And we find out later, this is really God's plan to get the church moving outward. I think at the moment, nobody in that inner circle, the first church, would have thought, oh, this is God at work. All they knew that Stephen was killed and we're going to jail and our leaders are gone. We're gone. We're leaving. You can only imagine the feelings of those first Christians when all this was happening. But God can do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. And he did. So what's the lesson here? Roll with the punches, but keep our eye on the goal. Love for Jesus no matter what. Obedience no matter what. We won't be able to explain problems, persecutions, or unusual success. We can't point to ourselves. God is the one that does this. So I think we can say, for us at New Covenant, let's deliberately pray big prayers. This verse teaches, we'll never pray big enough for God. He can do much more than we ever can even imagine to pray or to do. But I think it's worth thinking about this carefully so we don't ever feel hopeless or feel like things are so ordinary and just, you know, we have no future. We have big future because God has big plans for his people, for us. And he's the kind of person that does way beyond what we can think. So whatever else happens, I would say let's keep our eye on the goal. According to 1 Peter 4, the most important thing is love each other earnestly, deeply. Love us, love the body, within the body. That's the most important thing. and just have a humility that we expect to see God work in some new ways in and through us. Earlier I mentioned the verse in John 3:8, Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind, you can't tell where the wind's going to go or where it's come from. It just moves. It's real, but you can't tell. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So I hope we can become, I won't say comfortable, but not surprised when things just don't happen as we think they will. Let's keep our eye on the things we know, but let's let God be God as we go forward together. Second point. Notice that in verse 20, the last phrase, God can do more than we can ask or think according to or by the power at work within us. So the power is already working, and it's working in us. Would you say that God's power is already at work in you? Have you turned to Jesus in repentance for your sins, asked his forgiveness, and turned control of your life over to be Jesus' followers, to do whatever your Father in heaven has for you to do? If you can say that, then you know for sure there's been life-giving power from God to your heart. We started off dead in our trespasses and sins, and now if we're submitted to God and to Jesus to do his will, that's God at work. And the other angle of this phrase here, God's power is at work within us, is that it's our heart, it's our motives and feelings that God is working in. As I said before, not many of us are Samson, are going to be Samson in God's army. Let's be open in our inner heart to God's working. I've mentioned before that God has gradually shined his light on my heart about being afraid or feeling scared of things, like finishing a job on time or writing a sermon out. Those temptations come, or not being liked by other people, or by my wife. Fortunately, that's a little bit improved. That's a lot improved. So any little fear, any fear is for sure not the way the Holy Spirit operates. We have not received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship or adoption, telling us that we are part of God's family. So any little suggestion of fear, let's be sure we immediately say, look, God, this is not from you. And from God, from God's Holy Spirit, always comes a message, you are my beloved, you are the beloved child of God, the Father. That's who you are. You got fears? Relax, I'll take care of it. So, this second point, that God's power is already at work and it's work within us. Let's be humble and expect to see God work in new ways in our innermost being. Expect to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. We think we know Jesus? Yeah, we do, but there's so much more to learn. So again, I think let's be thoughtful in our prayers. Ask honestly for a deeper working in our own hearts and a clearer picture. What does he want us as a body to do for his kingdom? Point three, last verse. The operation of God's power within us leads to his glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. So here is Small Church New Covenant Christian Fellowship. How can little us display the glory of the all-powerful God? Okay, I'll just review. Plan not to be surprised at his power, at the challenges, even at the suffering he allows. And second, expect the Spirit to reveal how we can grow in our inner person to be more like Jesus. Here's a suggestion for seeing God's glory shine brighter here at New Covenant. Embrace our sufferings, the hard things of life, and thank God for them. But thank him more for how he can help us keep our eye on him in the midst of the of sufferings. An important verse that our kids in the Thursday Night Shepherding Group have learned is 2 Corinthians 12:9. I was thinking to give a microphone to Nathan, but I didn't get that far. Nathan, I heard him say this Thursday night. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is a very strange thing, countercultural even, about God's power. He needs none of what the world considers powerful. Money, good looks, wisdom, worldly smarts. He doesn't need that to show off his glory. But he does need a heart that loves him, rests in him, and is eager to put him first in everything. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. These things, in that context, is food and drink. I've always thought of that as a great personal promise. It's a great church promise too. Seek first the kingdom of God. How can his rule spread in us and in the people that we have touched, contact with? How can it spread? Seek that first, and all the things that we need to support this, they'll come. God will give those. So therefore, I would say, humbly accept every weakness that God allows in your life, in our collective life. It allows his power to shine out all the more clearly. So here's one thought. If you're asked to serve as a leader in New Covenant, don't be too quick to say, "I can't do that." Maybe a new reliance on God's grace is what the doctor ordered. I want to read these two verses from the Message translation, or the paraphrase, and I close by doing so. And I think I will have a closing prayer, and then we will skip the final song, and we'll go right to the Sunday school. And the girls who want to sing, please go see Kara down at the little room at the bottom of the stairs. Okay, listen. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes! Lord, may this be so. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up. Jeff, I need a song here, right now. Let's sing a song. Let's, we need a song.